1 Samuel chapter 14. Continue our study, recognizing God. Being able to see God where you are. And we're in 1 Samuel 14. And before we get into our Bible reading for today, I want to just let you know, we've been working on a new church information handbook for the last 6 months, forever. And Brother Kelly Roach has been taking the lead on that, and he has gotten that done for us. We thank the Lord for Brother Kelly. We've been waiting on this for quite a while, and so he kind of took the bull by the horns. And if you're a guest of Victory, you want to know what Victory is about, there are information booklets about Victory. They're located on the welcome desk. In the vestibule, help yourself, or if you're a new member or anyone who would just like to see the new handbooks, I think they're somewhere about in the neighborhood of about 30 out there. And if we need more, we can get them very quickly. So help yourself to those if you would like to learn, especially if you'd like to learn more about Victory. But right now, let's focus our attention upon the Word of God, and let's hear from God. Amen? Let's stand. 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 6. Jonathan said to his young man who was his armor bearer, or who bore his armor. I'll let you know who Jonathan is. This is the first introduction of Jonathan. Jonathan is, of course, Saul's son. Okay? Jonathan was a great warrior in Saul's army. And so Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come. Let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." So his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Go then. Here am I with you according to your heart." Then Jonathan said, "Very well, let us cross over to these men and we will show ourselves to them. If they say to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand up, we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say thus, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up. For the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us." So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, "Look, the Hebrews are coming out of their holes where they've been hidden." The men of the garrison called to Jonathan and to his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us and we will show you something." And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel." And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. The first slaughter which Jonathan and the armor bearer made was about 20 men within about half an acre of land. And there was trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earthquake, so that it was a very great trembling. Now the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and there was the multitude melting away, and they went here and there. And Saul said to the people who were with him, "Now call the roll and see who's gone from us." When they had called the roll, surprisingly, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said to Ahijah, "Bring the ark of God here." For at that time, the ark of God was with the children of Israel. Now, it happened while Saul talked to the priest that the noise which was in the camp of the Philistines continued to increase. So Saul said to the priest, "Withdraw your hand." Then Saul and all the people who went with him assembled. And they went to battle. And indeed every man's sword was against his neighbor. And there was a very great confusion. Moreover, the Hebrews who were with the Philistines before that time, who went up with them into the camp from the surrounding country, they also joined the Israelites and were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel who had hidden in the mountains of Ephraim, when they had heard that the Philistines fled, they also followed hard after the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day. And the battle shifted to Beth-Aven. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ken Worthen, would you lead us, please? Amen. You may be seated. Now today, as I said, we meet Jonathan, Saul's son, a soldier, a good man. And we find Israel once again in the same position that we left them last week. Basically, their backs are against the wall. They're facing the same old problem that they've been facing for a while now. And that problem is, of course, the Philistines, an overwhelming enemy. The Philistines are set. They're ready to meet Israel. They have 30,000 chariots, 6,000 cavalry, foot soldiers that were so many that they couldn't be numbered. Israel started out in this event. In the first part of chapter 13, they started out with about 3,000 men. And up to this point, they've watched as the Philistines have made their threats, and that army of Israel has dwindled less and less. And you see in the last part of chapter 13 that they finally come down to about 600 men. Oh, things don't look good. Easy to become discouraged, disappointed. So many of them have deserted. So many of them have ran to the other side of the Jordan. They've hidden caves, thickets, rocks, holes, and pits. And the men that are staying with Saul now are so afraid that literally they are trembling with fear every time they look out at that Philistine army. They're at the point where doing nothing is no longer an option. You see, that's what they've been doing. And I know last week, do you remember what I told you last week about doing nothing? When you don't know what to do, do. Y'all weren't here last week. When you don't know what to do, do nothing. Absolutely. But I do realize that you can only do nothing for so long. Right? Understand, when I make that statement, I wasn't giving you a free pass to do nothing for the next 30 years. All right? That is not a good idea. And that's basically what's going on with the armies of Israel. They are paralyzed in fear. They're hiding in the rocks and the caves and so forth. And they're absolutely doing absolutely nothing. I'll tell you, you can't sit sour and soak forever. You can't hide forever. You still have an enemy. You still have the same challenges plaguing you that were plaguing you last week, and the same problems plaguing you that were plaguing you last week. At some point along the way, you have to make up your mind that this is not where I want to be. Now, I want you to think about that statement for just a moment. Have you ever been where you didn't want to be? I'm talking about those situations in life where pressure is very great and you just stood by a beaten individual. You see, that's where a lot of people are. They sit stagnant. They've had a bad experience, and so they just back off and don't do anything forever. I've known people who backed off church because church, they had a bad experience in their last church. So their thought is, I'm not going to church anymore. You heard people say that? You heard people say, I used to go to church, but I found that there are a bunch of hypocrites in church. Guess what? You're telling the truth. We are. We'd like to do better. We want to do better. Amen. But I'm like the Apostle Paul. That which I would do, I do not. That which I would not do, I do. Because I'm a human being. All right? My point is this. Whether you're talking about your church or your walk with God, or if you're talking about the situation that you're in right now in life, maybe there's just troubles everywhere you look. Maybe troubles at work, troubles at marriage, trouble with your children. You can't just sit and do nothing forever. Because if you do, you'll never have victory. I've got a wild idea. And it comes from Jonathan. Jonathan looks down and he sees what everybody else sees, and he sees the armies of Israel hiding and fear, and even his father, the king, not doing anything. Jonathan looks over and he says, "That's enough of that. This is enough of this." While everybody else is hiding, Jonathan says, "I'm going up." And his armor bearer, young man with him, says, "Let's go, man, I'm with you." And he says something very profound here. He goes, he decides, "I'm not going to do this anymore." And he goes up and he says, "We'll show ourselves to the Philistines. And if they say, come up to us, we'll go up and we'll whip them." That means God has delivered us delivered them into our hands. "But if they say, stay where you are and we'll come down to you, then we'll stay and we'll do nothing." You see that he's getting up and he's searching for what the Lord wants to do. And here's the phrase that I thought is absolutely outrageous. He says, "It may be that the Lord will work for us." Isn't that just wild and crazy? I mean, who would ever think? I mean, what a novel idea that God just might decide to work through him. Have you ever heard something so crazy? You ever think about that? Yeah. Have you ever thought, "Well, I need to do, but I can't, and I won't, and I don't have time," and make every excuse in the book? Back up and entertain the idea that God just might do something through you. Most people don't believe that. They really don't. That's why we don't witness. That's why we don't step out in boldness and take chances. That's why we sit idle. God just might do something supernatural. Something powerful. So often we choose... Have you ever felt sorry for yourself? You ever done that? We usually don't recognize it until it's pointed out to us. Beth won't put up with it, I'll tell you. Her favorite phrase is, "Suck it up, buttercup." Don't allow it. Yeah. It's so easy to sit idle, doing nothing, and just blaming the world for our problems. Here's a novel idea. God's still God. He still does big things. He still has the power that He's always had. He's still the one who can calm the storm. Again, 2 Chronicles 7:14. I love this verse. "My people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Do you believe that? Do you believe that you serve a God that's still active? God is not on vacation. He has not turned His ear away from you. He's waiting on you. Now, you still may not know what to do and how to handle the issues of this life, but I will promise you this. At some point, you're going to have to get up and say, "Satan, you can't have me anymore." Okay? You ever done that? You ever talked to the devil? Listen, you need to every once in a while. He don't listen very well, but he needs to know. There's been times that if I could have physically looked him in the eye, I would say, "Satan, you will not have my children this time. Satan, you will not have my marriage. Satan, you will not have me. I will not quit. I will not back up. I will not surrender. I'm going to preach. I'm going to pastor. I'm going to work till the Lord comes back, and I hope you don't like it." Why? Not because I'm somebody, but because the God that I serve is somebody. And see, that's what I want you to get today. It's Jonathan, he didn't say, I'm going to be a bull in a china shop and I'm going to go and whip those thousands of Philistines. He'd have been wasting his time. But he said, hey, it just might be that God wants to work through me. What a novel idea. You see, old Jonathan knew the source of his strength. And I love the last part of verse 6. He said, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. You see, we want the many. Why? Because it's easier to take a stand when there are 400 people standing with you. It's a lot more difficult to take a stand when it's just you and one more. Maybe even worse than that, it's just you. You see, Jonathan thinks that God just may deliver the nation of Israel through he and his armor bearer. And he says, God doesn't need a lot. He just needs a few people willing to be bold enough to do something nobody else is willing to do. Jonathan knew it wasn't his power that was going to bring the victory. Throughout the Bible, have you ever noticed? Throughout the Bible, God has always done amazing things through a few people. You know why? Well, number one is because if he does it through a lot of people, then the people will take it upon themselves and say, look what we've done, when it's a God thing. And number two, there are so few people willing to trust and be bold enough to step out and do what God calls them to do. You know, not everybody's willing to do that. You see, great victories do not begin with multitudes, but with bold men and women. That's where victory lies. Take Abraham. God told Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. But you're going to have to leave the land of your fathers. You see, when we get to the but is where we say, oh, no, I don't think so. God called Abraham and said, I'm going to make of you a great nation, but you're going to have to leave the land of your fathers. He called Moses and said, Moses, you're going to deliver my people from Egyptian slavery. But Moses, you're going to have to go back to Egypt to do it. You see the boldness there? David, the king of Israel, the greatest king Israel ever knew. He said, David, you're going to rule my people. But first, you got to face Goliath. The apostles of the New Testament. Men, I'm going to make you fishers of men. But first, you got to follow me. You see, what we need to understand is that God is not limited by our limitations. He never called people based on what they could do. He called people based on what they were willing to do. Do you realize God only needs one person? One willing to step out in faith and do things that nobody else has the courage to do? People quit. They sit sull and soak and sour and it's as though they have no God. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been discouraged in the work of the Lord? Would you raise your hand? If you didn't raise your hand, you hadn't been in the work of the Lord. Sometimes it's hard. Let me ask you, have you been discouraged as a parent? Those who didn't raise their hand never been a parent. So my point is this. I don't care what you're facing. And I know there are people here today who are hurting, facing some serious things. And you've not known what to do. And so you listened to me last week and you said, okay, Brother Doug, I'm going to do nothing. Okay, that's wonderful. The idea there is don't make a rash decision. But now this week I'm telling you something completely opposite of the other end of the spectrum. I'm saying don't stay there. Because you serve a great God. Okay? And He just needs you. Say, God, I'm willing. God, I'm willing to do things to make my marriage work. God, I'm willing to do things to make my teenager the Christian young person that he's supposed to be. God, I'm willing to do things so that my church can grow for your honor and for your glory. God, I'm willing. And quit saying, God, I can't. You know, when we say I can't, that's an excuse. And you know excuses, you know what excuses are worth? Nothing. Somebody said it. Nothing. Nothing. Oh, listen. God is the source of our strength. No, you can't do it, but God has promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God is the source of our strength. He knows you can't do it. But He said, trust in Him. Then we go on. Jonathan goes down. Now imagine this, if you will. Jonathan goes up to confront the enemies. He shows himself to the enemy. He's the only one that's bold enough to show himself. Everybody else is hiding. Jonathan goes up and he shows himself. And the Philistines say, look here. The Hebrews are coming out of their holes. They're coming out of their pits. And they yell down to Jonathan and say, hey boy, that's the southern translation. Hey boy, come on up here. And we'll show you something you won't ever forget. So Jonathan, he begins his climb up to the Philistine garrison. Says he goes up on his hands and his knees and he gets there. I like that he goes up on his hands and knees. And, sometimes maybe I read things into it, but if you're going to serve the Lord, that's the place to go from, your knees, right? But he goes up on his hands and knees and he climbs and he gets up there and those guys begin to come at him. And he begins to knock them down. One after another, as they come, he begins to knock them down. And when he knocks one down, he takes another step forward and knocks another one down. And his armor bearer is behind him. And after Jonathan knocks him down, his armor bearer finishes him off. I mean, men are dying of the Philistine army all over the place. Jonathan's not getting a scratch on him. His armor bearer's not getting a scratch on him. It says that 20 men and half an acre were killed by this amazing feat of boldness. The more Jonathan fought, the more the Philistines died. The more died, the more trembling and fear began to consume the camp and in the field and everywhere that there were Philistines. And guess what? It started with two men and their God. Then God gets involved. and He sends an earthquake. You know, I love it when God gives us strength, but I also love it when God does things we can't do. Don't you? Isn't that cool? See, they're shaking with fear because Jonathan has done put fear in them. Now God shakes them up literally with an earthquake. And fear is running rampant throughout the camp. And it started with two men and their God. Confusion spreads throughout the camp like a wildfire. They begin to fight one another. Instead of fighting Israel, now they're fighting one another. And it all started with two men and their God. And you know, from there, Israel took courage. Israel's hiding in their hiding place, but they've got lookout guys. And they're looking down on this Philistine army of thousands and thousands of troops. And as they look down, they notice, hey, something's going on down there. They notice a little while longer, and what they see are Philistines that are running. It described it as their camp was melting away. And Saul, he immediately takes roll. He says, somebody's down there doing something. I don't know who it is. So take roll. And they took roll. And surprise, Jonathan and his armor bearer are missing. Saul says, okay, Jonathan's down there. He's doing something. I don't know what's going on. The longer they wait, the smaller the army gets. And so Saul calls for the priest. He says, bring the Ark of the Covenant. We've got to hear from God. He brings the Ark of the Covenant. And he's waiting for the priest to do the Urim and the Thummim thing, you know, where they decide God's will. And all the time that he's waiting and watching and talking to the priest, the noise from the camp of the Philistines are growing more and more, and they see more people running and scattering. And finally, Saul says, look, priest, get on out of here. I don't have time to mess with you. If we don't get on the road, we're going to miss this whole thing. And he took his army and he goes down into the battle. And they find that the Philistines are fighting with one another. I love the way he told the priest there. He said, withdraw your hand. He's saying, get out now. We got to go. You know what he was afraid of? Speculation on my part, but I think he was afraid he was going to miss the whole thing. He knew that God was bringing a victory, and he knew if he didn't get down there, he wasn't going to be a part of it. But anyway, the Israelites, Saul's courage is restored, and the Israelites' courage begins to come back. Those who are hiding in their holes in their pits, they see that the Philistines are fleeing. They say, oh, yeah, I want some of this. Those who had deserted and went across the Jordan, they hear rumor that the Philistines are fleeing. They say, I want some of that. Even those who had deserted the Israelite nation and joined the Philistines, the wrong side, they deserted and come back. And first thing you know, everybody is getting into the fight. And it says that God gave Israel, or God saved Israel that day. And it all started with two men and their God. Two men who were bold enough to say, I'm not living this way anymore. Two men who are willing to say, I don't like it where I am. This is not God's will where I am. I'm going to be bold enough to get up and do something about it. Now, mind you, as I said before, I'm not telling you to be rash. I'm not telling you to do something foolish. I'm telling you, don't be satisfied with being idle. Okay? Because here's the reality. You're going to have to face the enemy. If you're a child of God, here's some news. Satan does not like you. And he wants to destroy you. And he will use everything he can in his power to destroy you. He'll use your kids. He'll use your spouse. He'll use your work. He'll even use people who are supposed to be Christians. You're going to have to fight somewhere along the way. As I said, you make sure you're not making rash decisions. But when the time comes and God shows you what you do to restore your family or to get back in the battle of Christianity, when God shows you, you be ready to move. And you know what you're going to have at the end of it when the dust is cleared? You know what happened? Everybody starts hearing. They hear Jonathan. Man, he's done something big. Yeah. And they hear about Saul and the armies going down. They hear about everybody going down in the battle and the Philistines fleeing. You know what that is? That is a testimony. You know what? One of the strongest things that you have as a child of God is your testimony. Okay? That God has done something in your life that no one, there's no other explanation except God did it. Yeah, that's a testimony. I want to tell you, like I said, I know there are people hurting today. I know that fighting is no fun. I know that pain hurts. And I'm not talking about physical pain, even though you may be in physical pain. I'm talking about on the inside, your heart may be breaking. But here's what I can tell you. With every assurance, having hurt myself, having been at that place where, well, if God doesn't do something, I'm not going to make it. Having been there and done that, here's what I know. I'm a better, stronger, more faithful man because of the battles I've been through. Okay? You will be too. Don't settle for quitting. All right? Now, Brother Doug, I've made some terrible mistakes. Well, let me tell you what. You get in line right behind me. Because I've sinned. I've made mistakes. I've done things. Boy, looking back, I wished I hadn't done. But the good thing is, we serve a merciful God. A God of forgiveness. And if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. Yeah. God's not going to turn you away. You see, you know what's really great? You may not have what it takes to be a part of the elite of this world. But the God of this universe will never turn you away. He loves you. Are you a child of God? Okay? Are you saved? That's the first step. If not, if you've never been at that point where you called upon Jesus Christ, you need to take care of that today. Because you don't know what the future holds when you walk out of here. You need to know where you're going. The Bible says, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you're not saved, you need to take care of that today. Maybe you're here today and you've never followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. That's the first step, okay, of obedience after salvation. All right? I would encourage you. Stand up and fight the battle. Okay? Maybe you're here today, you've been saved, you've been baptized, but you've got some other things going on. Some tough things in life that are just breaking your heart and your spirit. God is still here. You still belong to Him. Do not settle for being beat up and beat down. Okay? Because that's not the life that God has called you to. Alright? We are people of victory. Alright? That's why this church is called Victory Baptist Church. You know, there's an underlying meaning there. It's because in Jesus there is always victory. You may have to fight the battle, and that battle may be tough, and it may beat you up along the way, and you may even get a scar or two. But I promise you this, a hair on your head will not be lost. That's what the Bible says. Okay? Jesus is not going to leave you or forsake you. You keep it up. You be bold enough to follow Jesus, and I promise you, He'll never forsake you. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the day. You know the needs of this congregation. You know what's going on in every life. You know those who are hurting. You know those who are desperate, Lord. There are times that we just don't know what to do, and we're just desperate. And Lord, I just pray that today we'll be desperate for You. For You are what we need. For those that are fighting the battles, Lord, oh, give them strength. Give them boldness to take their stand, a stand that will honor and glorify You. Lord, as we come to this invitation, I pray You will freely move among us in mighty ways. Save the lost. Bring those, Lord, who have fallen by the wayside back to You. We pray these things for Your honor, for Your glory. In Jesus' name.